Hello and welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the podcast where each week I explore what it means to be a kick-ass and kind adult in our modern world. Expect strong language and viewpoints, as no topic is out of bounds here. My guests and I will navigate the complete spectrum from wildness to responsibility with compassion and curiosity rather than expectation. I'm Ebony Allard and I'm a misfit turned maven, an author, a coach and your host for Adulting with Ebony. Come on then, let's do this. Hey, and welcome to this week's episode. Today I am joined by Joanna Galveo, who is the co-founder of Gift Design Studios, an award-winning design agency specialised in brand identities and conversion-obsessed design. Based in Porto, Portugal, with a team of 10 designers and developers, Gift Design Studios offers the full range of print and design services to industry leaders in 17 countries on 5 continents. Joanna speaks internationally on the power of design and creativity, and her work has been featured in The Guardian UK, Brand Brilliance, and Digital Arts magazine. Heya!
Hi, I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so happy to have you here. I love getting to have these kinds of conversations with people. It's my absolute favourite. And you're someone who really, really interests me because you are both creative and successful. And I feel like whilst there are more and more of those types of people in the world, it's really easy for creative people to feel like we can't have both of those things, or that we need to sell out, or, you know, all of that. So I'm really excited to dive into a conversation with you.
I resonate with that, especially because I remember when I was building the agency, there were some people that were saying that I was selling out. And so it's tough. Because sometimes when you're trying to be profitable as an agency or a freelancer, you will have to compromise quality to make sure that you deliver on time or you meet the client's needs.
It's a really interesting balance. Yeah. And I guess that leads me into this kind of adulting thing, right? Because in some way, like, it wouldn't be adult to run a business that doesn't make a profit.
Yeah.
It would be very childish.
I don't know. And yet a lot of people will do it, right? Because they're so passionate about their art.
That's so true. So what does adulting mean to you?
Adulting to me means taking responsibility and ownership of your actions and what's happening in your life. I do think that at the end of the day, at the very core, everything that we experience is of our creation. And I think it's when I really started to take ownership of that I felt like I was being an adult.
I still have days where I'm not sure that I'm taking ownership of that, and I run this podcast.
Here.
Okay, good. Because that makes me feel better. But no, I agree. As a concept, I think that's absolutely it. Do you remember a moment, like, in your business life specifically where you were like, oh, I wasn't taking responsibility, or I wasn't taking ownership of my actions in this?
Yes, multiple ones. But I think the most challenging one, and the one that is still a challenge every day, is the concept of being someone's boss. Mm. And I started hiring at 22. And that, I'm at 22, I still felt like a child. You know, I definitely was not taking responsibility and ownership over my actions and what was happening. And so I felt that, so the moment for me was actually when, and can I just tell you the story of what happened?
Please do. I love a story.
So I started hiring at 22, and I hired two designers, and they were with me for the first year of running the agency. And one day, I had left our profit and loss sheet on my desk, and it was gone. I asked them where it was, and they said, "We have no idea. We never go to your desk." And I thought, weird, because I know I'm 100% sure I left it here, and it's not like we had people come in and clean the office at that time. But the next day it appears on my desk again. Mm. They still claim that they know nothing of it. until the following week, they call in a meeting with me. And they tell me, Joanna, we see that you're charging American prices. So therefore, we want American salaries. We've researched what they are. And you need to double our salaries or we walk out.
Wow.
And I remember at the time, what crossed my mind was like, how immature of them. How could they? This is ridiculous. Like, I wouldn't even be able to pay rent if I doubled their salaries. Like, they don't know what it takes to run a business. And what happened was they quit and they started to message my clients saying, we used to work for Joanna. We can do the same work at a fraction of the price. Luckily for me, my clients really value integrity. And so they replied with me in CC saying, you know, more than talent, what I value when I work with someone is integrity. And you're not demonstrating that at the moment. So thank you, but I'll stick with Joanna. I remember at that time thinking, like, I don't have what it takes to be a boss. There's no way. Like, you need to be a grown-up for that, right? I'm doing air quotes. And I think in a way I was not at all taking ownership for my part in it.
Mm. It's so interesting.
It was, yeah.
I was just going to say, it's so interesting that I think in my experience and with all the business owners that I've worked with, that it's kind of a rite of passage, right? To have this either a client that complains about money or the service, mm. or to have an employee who, you know, doesn't feel... that feels like they're being taken for granted or doesn't feel valued in some way. And there's mm-hmm. then there's this kind of issue of leadership. And but I don't know, it's really interesting for me to hear your experience. And so from there, how did you change how you managed? I'm assuming you rehired and got new designers in. Mm-hmm. What changed?
Well, I think it was for sure a lot of mental work. I'm not going to lie, for like a week or two, probably more than that, I didn't want to get out of bed. I was telling my husband, and we run the business together, but I was telling him, like, I don't have what it takes to do this. Like, let's just go back to freelancing. I quit. And he really helped to push me and say, like, no, it's you're going to get better at this. It's going to be different next time. So I started to really look at, well, where was my part in this? Mm-hmm. What did I do that created them to want to leave or to make these demands? And I think it was sort of like a mindset shift. And, you know, I think I've had multiple of those over time, but that was probably the biggest one in stepping into being a boss, stepping into owning my responsibility in this, into really learning what it is to adult. And yeah, when I started to analyze my behavior as a leader, I realized I was micromanaging them.
Mm.
I was probably not consistent with what I said. It would be like I would have a call with a client who'd wanted something by tomorrow and I'd rearrange their whole day without even asking them.
Right.
I didn't make it a safe space for them to express, you know, how they wanted some of the work conditions to change. Because I only found all of the things that they didn't like about working with me after they left, yeah. Right? They told me a whole list of them.
It's so interesting, that process. And I guess there's a part of me that wants to kind of go, well, you know what, no, if anyone is experiencing this, or if anyone is terrified of hiring, like particularly as a creative, you can get through it. But there are lessons to learn and there are iterations. And my first business where I hired my best friend and I made my best friend my business partner. And it was lovely because we could talk about anything and I felt like I'd created that culture of safety. Mm-hmm. We shared the same values. We shared a lot of the same beliefs. And then we also shared the same skill sets and we shared the same friends and contacts and we shared the same, you know, there were a lot of things, which meant that there was no one in the business who had a different point of view. There was no one in the business who was really good at the different things from me. And actually, you know, I learned over time, it's like, oh, instead of, I remember learning the lesson of hiring the skills needed for the team rather than my friend, like who, and really started to notice, like, okay, well, I'm someone who needs someone to support me. Like, I'm someone who really likes having, like you had your husband, like that's someone who just goes, you can do it, keep going, like get up. So I've always had coaches because they now fulfill that role for me rather than having someone in the business who has this kind of dual role. But it's also been something I've really had to play with, because so now in my team, I also have someone who is a little bit my right hand. And that's really important for me because I have learned through my businesses that I don't really enjoy managing people. Like, it's not, I'm a visionary. I can see the vision for the company. I can do big picture stuff. I can leap us so far ahead, right?
Mm-hmm. So you need an implementer.
Yeah, in terms of like, and what has to happen tomorrow and who organizes the Asana tasks. I find that really difficult, but this is something that we learn, right? And that's part of adulting. Part of adulting for me is going, you know what? I'm really good at a lot of stuff. I'm also really not good at a lot of stuff. Mm. And how can I take ownership of that and be comfortable in my own skin and be like, okay, so what are the gaps? And how can I let someone take ownership of that whilst it's still my company, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I love what you said about like, owning what you're not good at so someone can fill that role. I think one of the things I've really worked on in this second iteration of me as a boss is the concept of bottom-up managing as well. Mm. I want to create a culture where my team find it safe to point out, Joanna, you're doing this wrong.
Yeah.
And it's taken a while because I know like, I even spoken to them. They're like, John, I'm not really going to tell you because you're my boss. I'm like, no, but you have to. And sometimes if I phrase the question in a different way, like what do you see that is missing in this process to make it better or faster? They'll speak up. But recently, one of my team members did come up to me and they're like, John, I think you're settling. And I think you can push us to create better quality design. Mm. And that's guts, and I'm really grateful, and I thanked him, like, thank you so much for coming to me and sharing that, but at the same time I felt, you know, a little proud. I'm like, yes, I did it. I created that safe space where now finally, you know, he's been with us for 3 years, he feels safe enough to tell me this, and that, like, we grow together like that.
It's such an interesting line. I love talking about this stuff because it's such an interesting line between, like, as an entrepreneur or as a boss with a team, we get to relinquish control. And that's often very difficult for us, right? Because we've only got to the position where we can hire anyone at all because of that, like, fierceness that comes with wanting to do everything or something. Mm-hmm. And so there are iterations of like letting go of stuff and giving ownership to people. And I'm really up for that. I'm really up for handing responsibility and handing ownership. And ownership is like key piece for me, right? Like, but how do you make someone take ownership, right? That's really, you can't make someone. You have to create the circumstances in which they want to, right?
We're battling with this at the moment and trying to understand, like, how does this really work? Because when I hired our project manager, she's my right hand and I can give her my big ideas and she'll put them in the calendar and make me commit to the deliverables. For me, it was easy to delegate that responsibility of like, now you have to run the projects and the communication with the clients. If you have any questions, you can come to me. But if an email doesn't get sent, if a project doesn't get completed on time, it is your responsibility. Mm. But now what I'm seeing is like, I've been able to do that myself with her, but now how do I teach her to do that? To put the designers responsible. And we tried once where you know, my team, they work as a team. And the minute you divide responsibility amongst many people, then no one is really responsible, right? You can't say it's your job, the three of you, to create something and to be delivered by this time. And if it isn't, you're not going to point the finger at the three of them, right? It's not really going to work. So what I started doing is I started telling my team member, like, you're the lead designer for this project. You can delegate it. You can get someone else to help you with the illustrations. You can get someone else to help you with this. But at the end of the day, if it doesn't get completed on time, it's you. I'm going to come to for explanations. And it's, you know, if the work is not up to our standards, it's also your fault because you let, and I don't like the word your fault, your responsibility, because, you know, as the lead designer, if you're not happy with the quality of the work, it's your responsibility to then push your colleague to produce something better. And I think that's working. I don't know if it's so much of them wanting that, but I know that for my business,
yeah,
if they're not going to be willing to take responsibility, I have to find someone else who will.
Yeah,
because we're small, you know, I can't be directing all nine of them. Mm-hmm. I don't have time in my day for that.
Yeah. Yeah. And so my brain instantly goes to, okay, especially now that you're traveling all over the world and speaking at great things and doing all of this stuff. And I know that in my business, some really interesting stuff happens, right? Like, it's a bit like having a baby, and that baby always cries when you're there. But if you hand it, if you actually leave, then the baby's fine and, you know, everyone has a nice time. So yeah. I know that the biggest leaps have come in my business when I've gone traveling, or I've gone on holiday, or I've gone to an event where I'm on a time zone where I'm like 7-8 hours behind, or something very different is happening, because then they have to just get on with it, right? Or they don't, and it all falls apart and I'll pick up the pieces when I come home. But there's been a couple of times in my career where I'm a business owning life where that's actually made the difference. And I wonder whether that's the same for you. And I also kind of want to segue into your speaking stuff and how that happened.
So I remember the first time I really took time off was when I got married and went on my honeymoon. Mm-hmm. And in that time, my team kept it all going and they onboarded a client, which hadn't happened before. But I gave Joanna, so when I left, so my right hand is also called Joanna. I told her, I was like, I give you full control. You can make decisions without me as you think that I would make them. And I give you permission to fail. It's okay. Like, what's the worst that can happen? You know, if there's anything like extremely urgent, do call me. But you know, if you're like, you know, if something comes up, just solve it like you think I would solve it, or like you would solve it, and make that decision, take those actions. And so when she got an email from someone inquiring about work, she said, you know, Joanna's on her honeymoon. For the next 2 weeks, she'll be away, but you can meet with me and we can talk about your project needs and we can start the work. And so, you're right. Like it was when I was away, when I really committed to like, no, I'm not going to check my phone, because I only get one honeymoon in my life. I only get one wedding week. And, well, hopefully.
Yeah. You know, I get it.
And that helped me to now do the same every time I'm away. I mean, I'm here in the room next door to where they're all working, and they probably won't come up to me all day, most likely. And that's pretty much the same every day. I'm beginning to have them think of me as a consultant of the business.
That's
and
great.
The salesperson.
And how, just as a nosy question, like how long's that taken to get to this point in your business, do you think?
I started the business 4 years ago.
Okay.
But I do have to say, I did obsess. I did become like an avid student of leadership. Mm. So I read a ton of books on this, and I really exercise my mindset over and over and over again. Like every day, it's like a mental challenge, you know, like, no, you promised yourself you wouldn't touch that. So I don't. Like, mm-hmm. I haven't touched a design software in 3 years. So it took me 1 year to delegate the design, then maybe another year to delegate project management. And it's like shedding, you know, layers of what you do.
And yeah, we could go on forever. For me, that brings up a whole other conversation about the choices that you make around your creativity and whether you're going to lose the having a finger in the pie and getting juicy and creative. And we're nearly out of time, but I want to touch very briefly on the fact that you now talk about creativity and have really stepped back into that place. And what was it that prompted you into wanting or being curious around creativity in this way, or the way, does that make sense as a question?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. And so last summer I was faced with sort of like a bit of a depression, because I'm not creative in my business. I'm creative in how I sell and how I manage, sure, but I'm not creating mm-hmm. anything. And so I started to explore, you know, why I was feeling down. And at the same time, the business was sort of quiet, so that gave me even more time to think. And it's, you know, like you, I'm a visionary. So I'm like, well, you know, where do I see myself in 5 years? And I could always see myself speaking on stages. I see myself writing books. I see myself sharing knowledge. And what had happened is I had always seen that. So I'd always, so it's very easy for me to remove myself from the business, because it's like, well, each layer I shed, that's one step closer to my vision of having time to travel and speak and write whilst the business is running smoothly. So that's what makes it easier for me to let go of control. And but then what I realized is, like, I created all that space and I wasn't doing anything with it. Right. And that's probably why I was getting a little bit depressed. So I said, well, and because the business was getting quiet at the same time, I was trying to hustle, sell, like tell everybody about our services, and that wasn't working. And so I said, well, let me take 2 weeks and nurture myself. And what did I used to do as a child to nurture myself? Well, I used to play the guitar and write songs and write novels, fiction novels. And, I took 2 weeks by the beach. And I did that. Every day I would do something creative that wasn't to promote the agency, that wasn't for my own personal brand, but it was just to like nurture myself. And through that, I got inspired again. I started to have more energy, started to attract more clients again suddenly. And then I became fascinated. I'm like, I was thinking all this time that I was being creative because I was running a creative agency, but I wasn't. And I started asking myself, well, what is creativity really? And, you know, reading about it and trying different ways to express myself creatively. And I had a call. I think she might be a mutual friend, Laura Husson. Mm-hmm. Yes. So I had a call with Laura. And so Laura, she also runs a design agency. They make websites, or they used to. Mm-hmm. And she's also a psychic. Yeah. And she told me, like, what she could see for me is, like, she saw me as an idea catalyst, and she saw me speaking on stages about creativity. And I said, well, yeah, that's what I want to do, but, you know, that's way in the future. And she's like, no, no, it can happen sooner than you think. The moment she said that, I remembered a speaking competition that I had heard about back in January. I dug up that email. I had 2 days to submit my 3-minute speech. And so I did it. I did it on creativity. I wrote it and rehearsed it and shot a video of myself doing it. And I won. And the prize was to get to speak in front of 3,000 people on the subject.
And I've seen that speech, and it was beautiful, beautifully executed, really, really beautiful.
Yeah, and since then I've gotten at least 5 speaking gigs that are lined up next year about mixed about creativity and also about design that converts. I'll be speaking at Traffic and Conversion in February in San Diego. I'll be speaking at Upreneur. I have a couple of gigs here in Portugal. So yeah, it's funny how it snowballed into like, well, now I have a speaking career.
It's fantastic. I love it. Okay. So if people want to come find out more about you and the design agency and get in touch with you, all of the different things, where's the best place for them to come?
Okay. So my favorite place to hang out is Instagram. And it's where I really share like all the stories behind the scenes. I'm pretty open about everything. And I like to be vulnerable when I think it's of benefit to the audience. So that's Joanna Galveo Design on Instagram. And through there, you will be able to find like all the links. If you type my name in Google, my website will come up as well. And the design agency is Gift Design Studios, and that'll be where you can find it online or Instagram, Facebook. Yeah.
Cool. We will put all of those links. It's really easy for people to click through and come find you. Will you end with a confession with me of I'm an adult, but...
I'm an adult, but... sometimes I feel so terrified about running a team that I want to hide in bed.
I'm laughing not at you. I'm laughing because I'm like, me too. oh God, yes. Okay, so what's mine today? I'm an adult, but the key to my creativity and accessing my flow state is the things that I did as a child, which are painting with watercolors and writing small stories. Yeah.
Yay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. This is lovely.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you so much for all of your support. Please keep listening, liking, rating, sharing so that more people can come and enjoy and engage with us. Really, thank you. I'll see you next time.